Hello, hello. Welcome to my podcast once again. It's a message that I want to speak on. Basically, read some stuff that been written out here from the Bible. It's taken from 2 Thessalonians. Chapter 3, verse 1 to 3. It's three verses out of 2 Thessalonians, chapter 3, verse 1 to 3. I don't want to prolong this time. It is like 10:33 p.m. on this November the 9th of 2020. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 verse 1 to 3. And it reads, "Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you." 2. And that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. 3. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. I'm going to read 3 again. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. And let's go back over 1 and 2. Verse 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. "Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may be free course and be glorified, even as it is with you." Excuse me. And that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. I just read to you 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1 to 3. Now, let me give you a back note of what that's saying. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1 through 3. Chapter 3, verse 2 through 3, Paul reminded or recalled the Thessalonians that the Lord is faithful, even if wicked men or ungodly men, or whatever you may call them, were troubling them, was like bothering them. And so that's the back note on that. Paul reminded them that the Thessalonians, that the Lord is faithful, even if wicked men were troubling them. Even if you have issues in your life that you cannot handle, God is always faithful to keep you on course. Now, that was the backdrop. Now, let me give you the introduction to this. The title is "The God Who Is Faithful." The God who is faithful. My intro to this is that this letter from the pen of Paul is written to a church. It didn't say what kind of church, Baptist, Church of God of Christ, or whatever. It said it was written to a church that is experiencing great spiritual growth. 1 and 3. They are giving, loving church that is active and growing and reaching out. 1 and 5. However, this church is also a church in trouble. Somebody said, uh-oh. The Thessalonians were suffering under persecution from without and from pressure within. 1:5-6. The pagans around them wanted to see the church destroyed. The unruly members of the church who had embraced false doctrines concerning the person or individual and work of the Lord Jesus Christ were trying to fundamentally alter the course of the church. Paul writes to this church to encourage the persevere in the face of their trials. He writes to this church to address their concerns about the second coming of Jesus. False teachers had convinced many that the day of the Lord had already come and that they had missed the rapture of the church spoken of Paul's first letter to this church. All right. 2:1-12. He writes to challenge this church to deal with those in their number who refuse to walk by the Lord's command, 3:6-12. This is a church in crisis. I'm not done. And the true believers in Thessalonica needed a solid word of encouragement. In the verses that form our text today or on this podcast recording, the very word they needed is given to them. In verse 3 of our text, Paul says, "The Lord is faithful." The Lord is faithful. He's not, I'ma put it that he's not already is, he is faithful. That was what the people, the humanity in Thessalonica needed to hear. Some encouraging. It is the what you and I need to hear today. Encouragement. I want to take these verses to speak about the faithful God. Let me share with you and myself a few thoughts that present themselves here. These thoughts remind us that our God is the faithful God. And he is. I don't know about you, but I need to be reminded of that fact from time to time. Let this verses remind you and I about the wonder of the faithful God. Number one is, he is faithful in his persons. All right, that's it. I done already started speaking. Paul writes, the Lord is faithful. Isn't that encouraging? After you done been through some things and you hear somebody say, the Lord is faithful, my brother and my sister. The implication to that is that faithfulness is synonymous with the very character or the nature of God himself. Many other places in the Bible, the Bible, give us insight in the character, in the nature, and the person of the Lord. For instance, I shall not be with thee long. Number one is that, for the Lord thy God is the consuming fire. and even a jealous God. So don't put anything else before God, because you will get cut off. Yeah, he loves us. He's a consuming fire. He's a jealous God. He don't want anything else before him or put before him that is not God.
That's right.
Amen. Deuteronomy 4:24. I know I'm saying amen like I'm really talking to somebody, but I hope you hear this, and I hope you be blessed after hearing this recording. I'm not going to be with you too long. I'm going to just share a few things with you. Number two is, taken from Deuteronomy 4:31, it says, "For the Lord thou God is a merciful God." He's merciful. Deuteronomy 6:15 also tells us, number three, "For the Lord thou God is a jealous God among you." So don't put anything else before God that it ain't God. He will allow things to happen in your life. Number four, take it from Deuteronomy 10:17. It said, "For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, and a great God, and a mighty and a terrible, which regardeth not persons, nor taketh reward." Number five, taken from Deuteronomy 33:27. "The eternal God is thou refuge, and underneath are all the everlasting arms." This is God. Deuteronomy 33:27. Number six, "The Lord thou God is with thee wherever soever thou goest." Joshua 1:9. I think it's number eight. "For the Lord, for the Lord your God is gracious and merciful, and will not turn away his face from you if ye return unto him." 2 Chronicles 39. And number eight, taken out of Job 36:5. "Behold, God is mighty and despiseth not any. He is mighty in strength and wisdom." This is God. Job 36:5. I don't want to lose my count. I think I'm on number nine. Number nine. Psalm 7:11. "God judges the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day." Why is he angry with the wicked every day? Because their wickedness angered God. Angered God. And if they come out of their wickedness, God's wrath won't be on them. That's why he angry with the wicked every day. Number 10, I believe. "God is our refuge and strength, and a very present help in trouble." Psalm 46:1. And 11. Psalm 46:7. "For God is the king of all the earth." 12. Psalm 54:4. "Behold, God is my helper." 13. Psalm 68:20. "He that is our God is the God of salvation. And unto God the Lord belongs the issues from death." Psalm 68:20. I think it's Next one is, but God, I may lost county, but forgive me. But God is the judge, and he put it down one, and he set it up another. God, my God. Psalm 75 and 7. My next one is Psalms 99 and 9. For the Lord our God is holy. So why not we be holy? Next one is, gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. Psalms 116 and 5. The next one is, he that hath received his testimony has set to his seal that God is true. John 3:33. The next one is, God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. John 4:24. Why would you worship God any other way but only in spirit? My next one is 2 Corinthians 9 and 8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always have an all sufficiency in all things and may abound to every good work. My next one is 1 John 1 and 5. This then is the message that we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. God can't stand darkness. He exposes darkness. Anything that's in darkness will come to the light. My next one is 1 John 4 and 8. He that loveth not knoweth not God. He that loveth not knoweth not God. My bad. N-O-T. He that loveth not knoweth not God. For God is love. God is love. If you don't have love, you are not of God. You are still walking in darkness. A fact, my friend. 1 John 4 and 8. The next one is Nehemiah 1 and 7. The Lord is good and a stronghold in the day of trouble. And he knoweth them that trust in him. Nehemiah 1 and 7. In this passage, we are told that God is faithful. The word faithful in the New Testament referred to one who is trustworthy, one is trustful. In the transacting of his business, the execution of his commands, and the discharge of all his duties. It speaks of one who keeps all his promises. In the Old Testament, it speaks of firmness and steadfastness and steadiness. You don't want nobody that's firm, that's not firm and steadiness in their business. You want somebody that's firm and steady in business. You want somebody that's trustworthy. And that's God. God is steady in his business. God keeps his word. The word identified God in the faithful one. That is why he is called the Amen. Revelation 3:14. He is firm and faithful. He said, let it be, and it is. Remember, he said in someone Genesis, he said, let there be light, and there was light. And the light became day. God is who he said he is. And he is. He is the God who never changes. Malachi 3 and 7. Hebrews 13 and 8. James 1 and 17. He is the God who never fails. Anything that he does. He will accomplish it and pass it. He has always been and will never be will ever be and the great I am. He is the God who can be counted on. Just as he is always everything the Bible says that he is. He is always faithful. That is who he is. God is who he said he was. He's always faithful. He's always trustworthy. He's our everything. He keeps us in a time of sorrow. That's my time. I want to say thank you. I hope you was encouraged by hearing the encouraging word from 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1 to 3, and I will say a little prayer for anyone that's going through discouragement right now. Father God, I pray for anyone, Lord God, that hears this message and be encouraged, be inspired by hearing it, that God is faithful and He always will be. And Father, whatever goes on in the White House, Father God, and with with the issues and stuff going on in the White House, Father God, and negotiations and all that with the legislators and the Supreme Court, all that stuff that's going on in the right, Father, I ask you to touch them in the name of Jesus, make their hearts and their minds right in tune in with you, Lord. Father, let your will be done. Let your way, let your thoughts be done. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Thank you. Hello. I'm back again to read a lesson on 17, lesson 17 from the tryout the church and kingdom of God in Christ. Excuse my saying that. Let me read the theme on it. Is the truth revealed will be like an eagle and higher than any other religion, a sectarian church thought that nothing will ever stand between a mind in tune with God and the emanation of divine substance. From the tryout, the church and the kingdom of God in Christ at 2314 Greer Street off of Pine and Leland in South Dallas, Dallas, Texas 75215. Where the move of God is moving. Lesson 17 from volume 38 from October the 25th of 2020, which is today's date, is November the 10th of 2020. Here is 3:49 p.m. Now, let me go on and read this lesson here from October the 25th of 2020. And the title of this is Hell Keeps Getting Larger. I'm going to repeat that again because someone might get a little shout on that. Hell keeps getting larger. When hell keeps getting larger, it must be something wrong, right? Okay, the devotion reading on that is Isaiah 5, 1 through 16. And let me read this. It said, no one has a mouth or appetite and an attitude that can never be satisfied like hell. It always got its mouth open and taking someone in. Right? There are conditions of pain and suffering and sickness and imprisonment and death that are known as hell. There is also a belief teaching that points to a place known as hell. The grave and the cemetery are geographical hells that continue to receive the bodies of those who passed away. Hell is also identified as a lower place where tormented and tormenting spirit exists. No matter how we choose to define or describe hell, it is not shrinking. Hell is a demonic appetite that is always increasing in captivity and bondage through ignorance, violence, and poverty, and idolatry, disease, and immorality, injustice, and disobedience, and hate, and all sin. Hell is also known in the Bible as the Valley of Gehenna, a place near Jerusalem that was full of garbage, sewage, dead bodies of criminals, and dead bodies of people who died from sickness and poverty and disgrace. And as I go on, hell is also known as the Valley of Hinnom, a place where pagan devil worshippers did all kinds of ungodly things, including molesting and murdering children. Hell also be a type of mindset, fear, division, high levels of stress, depression, and confusion, and racism, and oppression, and danger, madness, hostility, and many other mental conditions can turn our minds into hell. No matter how much enlargement goes on in hell, we have the Holy Ghost that leads us to Christ. When we are led into Christ, we are walking in the incarnated spirit that delivers us from the power of death and ransoms us from the grave. Although hell is being enlarged, there is victory in the power of Christ's resurrection. That victory keeps getting larger, that death, hell, and the grave. Therefore, we need a master mental and spiritual consciousness in Christ and have a larger awareness of who controls the keys of death and hell. Greater is he that lives in us than he who chooses to live in hell. I'm going to say that last part again. Greater is he that lives in us than he who chooses to live in hell. Lesson scripture taken from Isaiah 28:13-15, Revelation 1:10-18. The lesson outline, number one, is taken from Isaiah 28:13-15, avoiding a covenant of forbidding agreement with death and hell. The consequences of a covenant with death and hell is a reprobate mind that hates righteousness, love, life, and God. When this kind of covenant is established, a person becomes a relative and offspring of the devil. Therefore, a covenant with death and hell turns us into a murderer, a liar, and an enemy against God. Therefore, no one should be quick to say death is a friend. Therefore, no one should be quick to say death is a friend. A covenant with death and hell means someone chooses to do sinful and immoral and ungodly abominations to keep from dying and going to hell. Death and hell can never be satisfied, and the more people fed death and hell, the hunger death and hell and those people get. God has given us the Holy Ghost, Christ Jesus, the written, spoken, and revealed word, as a tried stone, a cornerstone, and a foundation that abolishes death and cancels out every covenant with hell. These stones are principles of understanding and power that cause the spirit of victory to swallow up death and hell. No matter how much hell enlarges itself, we have some stones that keep getting larger than hell and keep us standing on a tried foundation. A triumphant foundation. Number two. Revelation 1:10-18. Christ owns the keys of death and hell. The Lord Jesus Christ demonstrated the power over death and hell when he was at the tomb of Lazarus. He also proved he had that same power when he raised Jairus' daughter from the dead. He stopped the funeral procession and brought a widow's son back to life. It is evident that Jesus could lock up and unlock death before his crucifixion. He already had the keys before his resurrection. The only thing Jesus needed to do was personally demonstrate victory over death and hell and the grave for the world to know death has no victory over those who have hidden their life in Christ with God. Satan has no authority over death or hell because he is defeated and keyless.
Hello?
Okay, I'm back. The truth is that no matter how much hell enlarges itself, we do not have to make reservation to go there. No one must die and go to hell, or heaven or hell, because they can enjoy heaven or catch hell while they are alive. Let's say that again. The truth is that no matter how much hell enlarges itself, we do not have to make reservations to go there. No one must die and go to heaven or hell because they can enjoy heaven or catch hell while they are alive. To think about it, a drunken man gets on the bus late one night, staggers up the aisle, and sits next to an elderly woman. She looks the man up and down and says, "I got news for you. You're going straight to hell." The man jumps up out of his seat and shouts, "Man, I'm on the wrong bus." Reveal verse. All hell is much better than all hell. Thank you.